So over to you, Jim, on issue eight.
So, issue eight, determining when control of a commodity transfers, agenda paper 43. And I think Mark is going to tee up that discussion.
Great. Thanks, Jim. Okay, so the next issue relates to the sale of commodities and what factors should be considered when evaluating the criteria for overtime recognition of revenue. Specifically, what factors should be considered when evaluating whether an entity simultaneously receives and consumes the benefits provided by an entity's performance as the entity performs? And I think, you know, even though this submission was in the context of the sales of commodities, and that's how we'll discuss it, I think as we're talking through the various views, it's also helpful to think about how those views would also apply to other transactions, such as the sale of widgets. So, the first view that seems to exist in practice is that when you're evaluating those factors or criteria, that you should only consider the inherent characteristics of a commodity. For example, whether or not the commodity can be stored. If it can be stored, there seems to be a presumption that an entity would not simultaneously receive and consume the benefits provided by the entity. The second view is that an entity should consider all known facts and circumstances relevant to the evaluation. And I stress the word known there because this view is not to suggest that an entity should go out and figure out whether or not its customers has storage tanks or speculate on the customer's intended use for the commodity, but just known facts and circumstances. And so this view would suggest that, of course, if an entity stores the commodity, perhaps that, you know, revenue should be, or that the simultaneously receives and consumes criteria may not be met, but if the entity could not store the commodity, then perhaps that criteria would be met. So maybe to illustrate the two views, I think it's helpful to think about an example, maybe of an entity that sells natural gas, which is a commodity that can be stored. So under the view that you would only think about the inherent characteristics of that commodity, the entity may look at one customer that has a storage tank, and they'd say, okay, well, the natural gas can be stored, so we don't meet that simultaneously receives and consumes criteria. And then it may look at another customer that doesn't have a storage tank, but rather has a line into its building, but say that doesn't really matter. What I'm selling here is natural gas, and it can be stored. So for that customer, I'll also say that that simultaneously receives and consumes criteria would not be met. So in both of those cases, the company would likely conclude that revenue would be recognized as a point in time. Contrast that with the other view that says you would consider all known or all relevant facts and circumstances to the evaluation. The entity may look at its customer that has a storage tank, and they'd say, well, they can store that commodity in their tank, so they likely will not simultaneously receive and consume the benefits of that commodity. So that criteria would not be met, and I would recognize revenue at a point in time. Versus the other customer that doesn't have a storage tank and has the line into the building, the entity under the second view would say, well, I know that entity has a line into its building, so they likely are simultaneously receiving and consuming the benefits of the natural gas. So in that case, the criteria would be met and revenue likely would be recognized over time. So I think before you jump into the staff thinks, before jumping into an evaluation of the overtime criteria, it's first important to think about what the nature of the entity's promise is. And when doing so, it's important to consider all relevant facts and circumstances. And that's not inconsistent with the discussion that the TRG had back in its October meeting, where the TRG said that it's important to consider all relevant facts and circumstances when determining whether or not a promised good or service is distinct in the context of the contract. Once an entity has determined what the nature of its promise is, and in the staff's view, it is important to consider all relevant facts and circumstances when evaluating whether not only that simultaneously receives and consumes criteria is met, but all of the criteria for overtime recognition. So that would, the staff would be in view two or view B. So with that, I'll turn it over to the TRG.
Questions, comments here? Allison?
Thanks, Jim. We agree with the staff's analysis. I know that this issue has been one that's been a bit of a struggle for some within the industry where you're selling commodities. In particular, the reason for the difficulty is because those entities are looking at just what it is that they produce. In your example, markets natural gas. They believe that they're just in the business of producing natural gas. How it is delivered to the customer certainly is an element of the contract, but they're not viewing that as being determinative in what it is that they sell to the customer. So that's the reason why the issue has come up. But overall, we do agree with the staff's analysis here, and so the paper is very helpful in that regard.
Are there fact patterns where the answer, whether you're in Camp A or Camp B, vary dramatically?
In terms of timing of that's what I was trying, you know, when Mark was describing, well, you do it point in time or over time, but presumably I was thinking, well, over time would be sort of as you deliver, mm-hmm. which might also be the same time as point in time. So I was just simple mind was wondering why this mattered.
Well, I mean, my understanding is that there are differences depending on the timing of when you actually deliver something. Think about it as a barrel of oil versus natural gas, that there could very well be differences in the timing of when you might actually deliver that versus having some sort of a continuous flow.
So I could understand if it's in a pipeline for weeks, but the example was natural gas, and mm-hmm. I was thinking that was more if we're worried about the sort of, you know, half a day it's en route to your house or something. So that if it was something other than the timing of recognition, it was timing of variable consideration or other things.
Yeah, the timing could be different, but I think ultimately it came down to a gating question as to whether you were in the series guidance or not. Because if it wasn't capable of being over time, even though it might have been it could be daily point in time, wouldn't work in the series guidance. I guess if we're reading it right. But
that's helpful because I was trying to figure out fundamentally what is this really about.
I think it would be helpful. We're in view B too, but we were sort of arguing over what facts and circumstances would lead you to one versus another. So I don't know whether there's any way to provide some thought around what would lead you to one or another. I assume this wouldn't be like just-in-time inventory would not qualify for this, even though you know the customer only wants it because they're consuming it right away. But I don't know how that sort of difference from just, you know, delivering a commodity, but it would be nice if that was in there.
You don't think the candy bar at the checkout line is just because it's eaten at the time you buy it is.
I was having a little trouble figuring out what the relevance was, because if the natural gas is consumed when you deliver it, you think it's point in time, then okay, it's as you deliver each unit of natural gas, and if it's over time, it's as it's consumed, which is the same as it's delivered. So I was really having trouble figuring this out. I also thought the views were, you know, kind of interesting. View B, the one which we all favor, is consider all relevant facts and circumstances. When would we not consider all relevant facts and circumstances? There are a few accounting standards, particularly in the U.S., where we are directed to not consider things that seem relevant. But by and large, we do consider all the relevant stuff. It's a matter of deciding what's relevant, I think, is what we're going for here. But I was having real trouble figuring out what we were trying to say and why it made a difference. I mean, if I order food in a restaurant, is that over time because I consume it right away? But if I buy it in a grocery store, it's point in time because I got to go home and cook it, although I didn't think of the candy bar in the checkout line that I probably do consume right away. So I wasn't real sure what the issue was here or why it made a lot of difference. Yeah, I can see that it makes a difference as to whether you get in the series guidance, but then I couldn't figure out how that was changing my revenue recognition either.
Scott, I think, you know, even though this was raised in the context of whether or not the criteria for overtime recognition is met, I got the sense as we were doing outreach that there was more of a question about skipping past what the nature of the entity's promise was in, you know, making the judgment that in some cases what I'm providing is a good and in other cases it's a service. And even though they may both relate to the same commodity, if you get different answers from a recognition standpoint, that's okay because you're doing two different things.
When we talked about this in Canada, we agreed with view B, and our experience would say that the contract should be pretty clear about what the performance obligations are. So, like others, we weren't quite sure what the issue was. So it should be pretty self-evident about when control transfers. So that you pretty much have to get to view B. May require some judgment in some circumstances, but in our experience, it was fairly straightforward.
Well, it seems like the resolution that I'm hearing here is that we should conclude that view A is not the right answer. In other words, it sounds like we don't need to determine when you're in A, when you're in a service, when you're in a good, but the confusion was did you have to be a good because you were selling a commodity that was storable? And I think the answer is no. And I think if we did that, that would cause a lot of the noise around this question to go away, and we could move on. That'd be right? Yeah.
If I could, just to bring us back a little bit, because I think, you know, A, there's an open question as to whether series is required or optional, right? So that's still pending. The board's going to take that up potentially. So that was putting some pressure on this question because companies weren't sure whether they were in or not, required to be in or not. And if it, you know, so, and I think the other aspect of it is one of the papers we talked about at the meeting today was, I think going into this, we had initially thought that if you were in the series guidance and therefore concluded that you had a single performance obligation, to the extent that you had, you know, a like commodity delivered in, you know, in a like fashion over time, I think our going in presumption was that you would then average the price and record it over the attribution period. And, you know, so I think some of the pressure, I guess, long-winded way of saying some of the pressure may be off that, because if that's not a requirement, then that's different. And so I think those two pieces, I think, maybe explain why the paper's here in terms of why it was important to resolve it. But
yeah, thanks, Jim. I just had a question on paragraph 13 of the paper. It says that the opponents were concerned about this because what it implies is that you get different accounting. Is this implying that if you deliver the same quantity over the same period of time, whether it was being consumed immediately or whether it was being stored, you'd get a different accounting answer? Is that what opponents of B were concerned about? Would you get a different accounting answer?
No, I don't think you would if in both cases you concluded that the nature of your promise was the same in both cases. I think paragraph 13 was just trying to illustrate that, as I was saying before, you may get different accounting for the sale of the same commodity, but in those cases it may be because you're doing different things. In one case you may be providing a good, in the other case you may be providing a service. Using the natural gas example, you know, you may conclude that the delivery of natural gas into the storage tank is the delivery of a good, and the delivery of natural gas through the line is a service of providing that natural gas. So some, I think, may have been bothered by the fact that you are delivering the same type of commodity, but you'd get different answers if you concluded one. You may get different answers if you concluded one was the sale of a good and one was the performance of a service.
So that does make this question more important then, since to know all the facts and circumstances, I guess, and that's why view B is the right answer.
I think it makes it especially important to know all of the facts and circumstances when you're thinking about what the nature of your promise is before you even start to evaluate whether or not that promise is satisfied over time or at a point.
Because even if it can be the same quantity over the same period of time, but you could get a different accounting answer.
I don't think if it's the same quantity provided over the same period of time that you necessarily would get a different answer. I think if you filled a storage tank with however much natural gas today versus providing that natural gas through a line over some period of time, you'd get different answers. Because again, this criteria for simultaneously receives and consumes is focused on as the entity performs. So you have to determine what over what period of time is the entity performing. So to the extent you think that in one case you've sold a good and the entity's period of performance is just as they drop off, you know, that gas in the tank, versus, you know, providing a service where the entity performs over a period of time, I think those are the fact patterns in which you would get different answers.
Maybe it's sort of to Scott's point. I'm still struggling how you get a different accounting outcome. Maybe a fact pattern that actually illustrated that if we think it's different, but if you're consuming at the same time you're delivering, so transfer happens, I don't understand the fact pattern where you get different outcomes.
And Jim, carry that to an extreme. What if I've got the storage tank, but I'm using it to regulate the pressure and make sure that what you're delivering to me meets some specifications, so I'm purifying, cleaning, whatever, because I know that historically there have been breaks in line. I mean, you can develop all sorts of fact patterns where you've got a storage tank in between you as provider, supplier, and the ultimate consumption, but that storage is for something very different than storing, taking it in bulk and waiting until I need it later on.
And so I get it in the pipeline example. Yeah. You know, it's take 2 weeks in a pipeline figuring out whether you're, but sort of the electricity example or the natural gas, I don't understand how you get different outcomes. Other than issues about either variable consideration in the series guidance.
Jim, I think that was, oh, I'm sorry, I think that was it. I believe that one, if you have 5-year supply contract, one, you do the same amount for the whole 5 years, and the other, if it's a point in time,
That would sort of be helpful maybe to then illustrate, because if it, you know, if it was a fixed fee throughout the life, I'm hoping that generally people think that that would occur, that the same, whether it's a service or a commodity or a good. Brian?
Yeah, I think some of the issue is some of these things, like, let's take like oil as an example, is tangible. So if you're going to say, okay, it is possible for a tangible good to be received and consumed immediately, therefore it qualifies for overtime revenue recognition, then that would suggest that maybe there are other things that are tangible that you could achieve the same result just because you can consume and receive them immediately. So if you substituted the word widget for oil or for natural gas, would it seem to make sense? It's not only the series and the estimation of variable consideration, but some things are made, like oil is extracted from the ground. So if I just take it out of the ground and it goes through a pipeline and then into the power plant and gets burned, that would suggest that as I'm extracting it from the ground, I should be recognizing revenue. And it's when, yeah, like electricity, it's easy to understand. Well, the electricity dissipates. Even when it goes in a battery, it's not really stored. It causes a chemical reaction. That electricity is gone. It's now the chemicals have changed because of the application of electricity to them. So electricity is not really stored. But these other things are all tangible and can be stored. And so this, you know, view B would suggest that, yeah, it is possible for widgets to be in ice cream cones and lots of things to be immediately consumed by the customer. Therefore, we should, if we have a contract, we should get some revenue recognition before they actually get consumed.
Over to you, Ian.
I'm glad you're confused, Jim, because so am I. Philippe, did you want to make a comment?
Yes, thank you. I think the question or discussion about paragraph 13 might have been made easier or clearer if we knew about this temporary storage, whether the tank is the client's tank or the supplier's tank. If it is the client's tank and the client customer is using that tank to temporarily store gas received from the supplier, and maybe the supplier is providing gas on a continuous flow basis, and then the customer will use that gas which is temporarily stored as and when needed, then you would have probably the same notion of continuous transfer and recognition over time. Now, if it is your own, the supplier's tank on the premises of the customer, and you are not actually delivering to the customer until when the customer wants that gas for its own purposes, then you would have maybe point-in-time delivery. But this is not spelled out in the fact pattern in 13, so I just confused like Jan or like others. I don't know what to do with that, except to suppose that the tank is the customer's tank, and then I don't care, because the customer has the ability to use that gas as and when needed. I did my part. I did deliver to his tank.
James.
Thanks, Ian. I've encountered this question on a regular basis in the extractives industry. And as has been noted by the US, the reason the question keeps getting asked is in order to see whether commodity supply contracts can get into the series provisions of the standard. So a typical example from South Africa would be a coal mine that is delivering coal to a power plant. There's literally a conveyor belt bringing the coal in on a continuous basis for the power plant to burn and produce electricity. Is that a series as far as the accounting is concerned, or is each cubic meter of coal that comes to the power plant a separate, distinct performance obligation? And that's where I keep hitting this question the whole time. There's a general assumption, I think, made by the extractive industry that the delivery and instant consuming relates to a service type situation when the boards were originally discussing the standard rather than goods per se. And they don't meet paragraphs or subparagraphs B and C.
So what's the accounting effect of in the series or not in the series?
A standalone selling price for each cubic meter for a 5-year contract or using the series provisions as one performance obligation. So maybe if it was illustrated with an example, you may find it sort of crystallizes the issue for them.
I agree with what James just said. In terms of the options that the paper allows us, I think view B is clearly preferable.
Yeah.
But it does seem as though the real underlying tension here is to do with the series guidance and the way that it applies to some things and not to other things, even though those two things may seem to be incredibly similar. Just sort of stepping back from this a little bit, I do fear that we're kicking the words in sort of 35A and 35B very, very hard here. And I would have much preferred to read them in a much more general way. I had, until we started on these discussions, I had thought that 35A and B were two sides of the same coin. Effectively, if it's obvious that you're transferring benefit to a customer over time, then either that benefit takes the form of an asset for the customer or it doesn't, and therefore you're either in A or in B. But if it's clear that you're transferring benefit over time, then you must be in one or the other. You can't be in neither. And yet I fear that perhaps you
can be. It's distinguishing between, if you like, an accumulating service and a service whereby nothing accumulates, you get the immediate benefit of it.
Yeah, I just, I guess I fear that if you kick this too hard, you start to get some really strange and unhelpful answers. I mean, in particular, the idea that electricity is delivered over time. Well, if you take the view that actually it's electrons, then it's just a lot of points in time. They happen to be very, very close together, but it's just a lot of points in time, really. It's not a very fair distinction. And likewise, when you're applying paint to a wall, it is atoms. And yet I would have thought of painting a wall as being an overtime kind of thing. So when you start looking at simultaneously received and consumed, and you start thinking about water, and, you know, do I generally put it in the bath, and do I maybe have a bath for 10 minutes, and is that really simultaneous? And a whole load of related issues. I do fear we're kicking these words very, very hard, and actually they're underlying meaning is a lot simpler than this. But maybe the answer is if we could make the series problems sorted out, maybe this would go away.
Henry, could you explain your point? Which one you just made?
Well, only just that 35 is trying to deal with the various different types of services that you have. And some services, there's just immediate consumption of the benefit of the service, where in others, the services are effectively accumulated for consumption later.
So how would that apply to commodities?
Well, I wasn't thinking about that. I was just thinking about, you know, Phil's general question about saying that 35 is broadly saying the customer gets benefit. But I agree with the point about that the tension is around
series.
The series. Mm-hmm. I understand that point. But
generally, I agree with you, B. What I struggle with is an overemphasis of the customer's intention.
Yeah.
Because we don't consider customers' intentions in other areas of revenue recognition. If he sells something to the customers, we don't care whether he starts to use it right away or later, as long as he has a right to use it. And that's why the idea that I sell a commodity to a customer and the customer has no storage, then the customer builds storage and I renew the contract at unchanged terms, to now say, now I'm in different guidance, I struggle with that. So I would put emphasis on facts and circumstances, but not a lot of emphasis on the customer's actual intention.
Brian.
Similar to Christoph, it's in a way, either answer seems quite unattractive, because view A, despite what Phil says about the nature of electrons, view A is almost certainly drawing a line most of the time between electricity and natural gas and every other commodity, whereas view B, despite the attractiveness of considering all the relevant facts and circumstances, seems to be drawing a line based on customer's intention or what you happen to know about the customer's intention. And I mean, given that the genesis of the question is in the series guidance, and given that there was quite a lot of interesting education about how you do allocations in the series guidance under paper 39, it'd be quite interesting to reflect on that and see how many of the practice questions can just get deconstructed based on some of the other discussions we've had.
James.
Sorry, just maybe as a concluding comment. The extractors people I've spoken to would like to get into the series guidance, but they believe they're precluded from getting into the series guidance because of this overtime criteria, that they don't meet any of the overtime criteria.
Okay, any other comments? Yeah, Tony.
Yeah, just maybe this will be the final comment, because I suspect this horse won't benefit from any more flogging, but
not dead yet.
Oh well. I think it just, I agree with everybody. The other folks that have spoken in London, I think the tension here is around the series guidance. But I think, as Scott said, when would you not consider all of the relevant circumstances, which sort of puts me in view B. And maybe there's just a step to take right at the end of this, which is to say, let's just think about all these questions we've had about the series guidance holistically.
Yeah.
Okay. Any more? Okay, back to you, Jim.
So I hear a general agreement that hard to do something other than consider all of the facts and circumstances of the arrangement. I wonder just personally if it would be useful to illustrate where the series guidance gives you a dramatically different answer if you reach a conclusion that you are selling a good which is point in time versus a service that is over time, where there's little differentiation in terms of what you're providing. If that could happen, that might tell us there's something else to do, including considering the series guidance. If that isn't going to be the case in practice, maybe we don't need to do more here. I don't know if others disagree. So if there is an example, I think we'll need help if there are examples where you get dramatically different outcomes. But Russ, you look.
I think this issue is very simple. I think what they're all saying is that view B is the appropriate answer, and when you follow view B, if you have the transfer of a commodity over time, that should not preclude your ability to do series. And I think if you say that, the individual from South Africa has his answer and everyone else has their answer. So I don't know what else there is to deal with.
What people are saying, because I think they're saying if it's over time and it's a good, I can't do the series.
They're questioning whether you can.
No, if it's a good, you can't do the series, right? If it's a good that's point in time, you can't do the series.
Yeah, but I thought what we had concluded by saying view B was it's not a point in time of a transfer of a commodity over time. But
I think it depends. I think view B is going to get to it depends whether they're storing it or not.
I think the problem is if it's a sale of goods that is not meeting one of the overtime requirements, which I think most commodity producers believe that is the case, then they can't get into the series guidance. View B, although I do have my reservations like others raised, could get them there. If we're saying that view B gives them overtime recognition, then they can get into the series guidance.
Okay.